Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 14th and 15th. Well, tournament time is going on. Remember last week, we talked about the Fred Pei Memorial Surf Fishing Tournament hosted by Hook, Line, and Warriors. Again, it's going to be this Thursday, June 19th, last day of sea bass, by the way. Teams of four veterans, 50 non-veterans, $100 singles, $25. For more information, call Captain Frank Brakel, 609-425-9401. Hey, nice tournament, fluke tournament coming up. Looks like next weekend, the VFW Flounder Fiasco Tournament, June 20th and 21st and 22nd. Oh, man, join us on live with a quick recap of this. Review is Andy Grossman, Riptide Bait and Tackle, 1201 West Brigantine Avenue, lovely island of Brigantine. Andy, how you doing, man? You are as busy as ever, bro. Go.
I'm doing great, Tom. Looking forward to this tournament every year. It's a lot of fun. It's 3 days of flounder fishing.
Yeah.
Top three heaviest flounder combined wins the tournament. It's going to be a back bay tournament, grade egg up to...
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. It's just going to be a lot of fun. There's a Sunday banquet that's great food back there and a lot of door prizes, and all the money goes to the VFW Children's Home.
Oh, wow.
Which helps out a lot of the young ones. And it's just a great tournament. It's fun. It's a lot of smack talk. And it's what I'm looking forward to.
And it seems Riptide and VFW veterans seem to be intertwined. You do a lot of work together, correct?
Yeah, correct. I love working with the vets. You know, I work with the VFW. I work with the Elks, bringing Elks. You know, anybody who wants to run a tournament, I'm there for them. Because if I can donate my time and my effort, I'm all for it. If it can raise money for a good cause.
Okay, Andy, the VFW Flounder Fiasco Tournament, let's get into the specifics. How much Calcutta's? What's the dealio?
It's $80 per boat, four anglers per boat. $25 Calcutta. Calcutta gets 100% of the money, even if they don't win the tournament because they don't have three fish, but they had a really big single fish. They win the Calcutta as long as they're in it. They can sign up either at Riptide Bait and Tackle, or they can go to the Brigantine VFW or the BrigantineVFW.com. Either way, or they can call me. If you can't get down here till next weekend, just give me a call. I'll sign you up, and then you pay up when you get here that next weekend.
Okay, give the number to that shop, Grossman. Go.
609-264-0440, Riptide Bait and Tackle.
Andy Grossman, always great having you on Rack and Fin Radio. When between your schedule and my schedule, man, it's rare but there, brother. We got it going.
All right, Tommy.
Take care. Have a great weekend, bro.
Same to you, bud.
See ya. Good guy. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Hey, the show we're going to have Hutch come from the Fisher Magazine coming up next. We're going to be talking to him. We have Kate May Flukin with Jerry Vessels from the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo, with a doyen of doormats, as we call him down there. Kate Flukin right now out front is hot and getting hotter. And we have a little product review at the very end of the program. I'm telling you, that's not a rod, reel, lure, line, boat, motor, blah, blah, none of that. Just something that will make you more welcome at home after a day on the water. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. And yes, the freshwater bass fishing post-spawn is on fire. And the catfish, man, I love my whiskers. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Halfway through already the month of June. Well, where is it going? Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Join us online right now, man. What is going on? Remember we had Captain Scott Newhall on a couple weeks ago? Small boat, bluefin, tuning, and wham! wham, they changed the regs, and all sorts of stuff's going on with the bluefin. So who do we get? We get the greatest fisheries news reporter along the entire USA coast, and that includes Alaska and Hawaii and Guam and all the whatever little affiliates there. Jim Hutchison Jr., managing editor, New Jersey and Delaware Bay edition of Fisherman Magazine. The July issue is going to be out in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. We're going to touch on his editor's log there. Again, it should be the very first thing you go to in the book magazine, whatever you want to call it. It's Hutch's spot on again. Sorry, Jim, I get too excited. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I know. Listeners, full disclosure, I was able to get hold of Hutch. We're in the studio for his segment on a Thursday, because Saturday, who knows, he's fishing somewhere. Jim, I know you're working on your video. You got this super editor's log coming out, sector separation, whatever. Hey, man, I don't see how your head's not exploding, Hutch. or you're growing like different sets of ears and arms and legs, whatever, covering all this stuff.
Well, you know what, man, it's no different than anybody else who's working. You know, the assumption is as well. You're the editor of the Fisherman Magazine. You must fish a lot. But right now, I'm just jammed up with deadlines and covering meetings and all kinds of stuff like that. So
I think if Hutch gets out twice a month, is that maybe three times a month? Hutch, is that a lot?
There's more than that. Saturday's my day off. People try to text me or call me on Saturday, and I'm really not responsive because Saturday morning I want to be set up wherever I'm fishing as the sun comes up on Saturday morning.
Trust me,
that's where I'll be on Saturday.
I know that from experience over the years. But he does that. He's out of touch on a Saturday. Okay, Jim, we have this. One thing with the bluefin that now is anything percolating behind the scenes now with this or the 27 one fish 27 to less than 47 private boat and for hire it's two. Where did this come from? Like all of a sudden, everybody got sandbagged.
Yeah, it's we did get sandbagged. We've got some really good advocates in the state of New Jersey who are very much involved with trying to get the best recreational limits on bluefin tuna. They're angry. They're very angry. Those are the folks that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been working diligently for the last several weeks to try to change the perception of the federal government to give the recreational community some more access. So we are kind of in a holding pattern because I think they've really appealed to the Trump administration that, hey, this doesn't work. You know, we need to do something here. So that's, maybe by this weekend or sometime next week, but we're hoping, something will kind of shake free from the mm-hmm. government. But right now it's, look, you look at what we had last year. Last year was the first year in decades where we actually had a fishery for the headboats.
Yeah.
Headboats back in the 80s when, the bluefin tuna fishery off the Jersey coast was really being established. Those were some of the first boats, North Jersey, Central Jersey, that got into a bluefin fishery. So it was nice to see last year we got some sensible limits on the angling side and the for hire side and also for the headboat side. This year, we really got jammed up. So,
mm-hmm.
and some of the details, if you want to talk about it, the problem is this, there are some whiners and some real jerks out in the community that are slamming the recreational community, environmentalists who are saying, you guys need to be more accountable. You overfished your limit in 2024 and, you got to do some payback. But when I look at the last bunch of years, the recreational community in bluefin tuna, I was talking to John DePersonaire from Viking. He said we haven't gone over our quota since like 2009.
Whoa.
So in 2024 was the first time that we actually, a lot of people got into the fishery.
Yep.
So it's not like it's a regular thing. And every year, what NOAA does, the NOAA Fisheries, the National Commercial Marine Fisheries Service out of Gloucester, they always adjust the tuna quota during the season to give the general commercial category and the harpoon guys additional quota during the season. Like last year, follow me on this one. In 2024, they used 2023 surplus bluefin tuna to give the commercial folks in the general category an additional 22% and the harpooners an additional 18.5% quota last year to allow them to catch more tuna, even though they were going over. But the angling sector never got a boost. So everybody was over, but the recreational folks never get a boost. We never get an additional allowance. And that's what we're looking at this year. That's what our guys, our advocates, and they're primarily from New Jersey, saying, look, every year you give the commercial guys additional surplus quota and you manipulate the numbers to help them. Why don't you help us? So that's really what we're looking at because I've got the charts in this week's video, mentioned in the video. You know, it was Tom, you and I are talking on Thursday. By the time, you know, this show goes out, I'll be fluke fishing on Saturday morning. And hopefully by then we'll all have learned that maybe something shakes free. But, you know, as of this moment here this morning, I'm scratching my head and I've got the whole breakdown in this week's video. And it really sucks. It's bottom line. It sucks.
Okay, Jim. Well, Jim, like I said, you know, let me ask you this question before we get to the next topic, Jim. Again, listeners, sector separation, extremely interesting and informative. Is a bluefin biomass in trouble? Is the stock okay?
No, the stock's fine. That's the problem.
That's the poking around that I did.
No, bottom line is we're getting cut because there's too many bluefin.
Yeah, like that's reminiscent of sea bass to you?
Exactly right.
Okay, Jim, let's get to sector separation. Listen, I see the preview of this. It's absolutely fascinating. Go into that, please.
Well, the Black Sea Bass is a fun segue on that because that's what we're – so the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council and the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, they're looking at two things right now. One of them is sector separation, and that's giving – similar to what we were talking about with bluefin before – but breaking down the recreational community into two parts, you know, giving a quota to the private angler like you and me, and then a separate quota to the for hire boats. For the anglers that are over there. It's wrought with some problems. I've got it all covered in about a week in the July edition of the Fisherman magazine, so I can try to simplify it over there. But the other component of that is they recognize that the data collection is terrible, and that relates to bluefin and black sea bass. Mm-hmm. The data collection is terrible, so they're looking at different ways of analyzing the data, the for-hire data, and then also perhaps someday down the road requiring us private anglers to keep our own daily trip logs to report back to the government. So I'll break that down. This recreational reform has been a good way of getting around some of the really rigid requirements in the federal fisheries law.
Mm-hmm.
And the Modern Fish Act was a new fisheries law that kind of gave us the opportunity, us meaning the advocates we have working for us, to give us some sensible regulations. God bless Captain Adam Nawalski.
Adam, he's tireless. He's omnipresent. The guy's phenomenal. And I'll tell
you, Hudson,
he's amazing, just amazing, and he's just a bulldog. And I've known him for years, known about him for years, saw him in a couple of meetings for years. He does not quit.
You know, he looks at this fisheries management stuff as a lawyer would with a legal document. He finds those loopholes and he finds those tweaks that you can maximize access and conservation at the same time. It's been a real blessing for us in New Jersey, and by that token also, for every angler up and down the coast. So, like I said, it's a complex issue, recreational reform and sector separation, but look for the July edition of the Fisherman out in about a week and a half. With a sheet set on the cover, and I break down both issues as best I can.
Hutch, let me run this by the sector separation. Will the four hire boats get this and this individual guy get that? Is that creating bad blood at all? What are you seeing and hearing out there?
It can. You know, we've already got it with bluefish.
Yeah.
We've got it with tilefish. You know, the one thing I reference in there, Tom, is that if we're talking about different limits, season, or, you know, size and bag for hire because their data is better with their anglers than the data that you and I keep or have collected for our anglers on our private boats, that's one thing. What we have to maintain And I'm going to be fighting like hell if this ever breaks. But if they try to separate the recreational quota of black sea bass or fluke or porgy, separate that and assign different quota within the recreational sector, that's where we have to fight like hell, because that will be the end of recreational open access fishing as we know it. So it's going to be a very hard. Then this is what I spell out next week's edition. It's going to be very hard to say those anglers on a for hire boat shouldn't get those limits, because they're keeping daily trip logs right now. And the data that's coming in from the for hire community is different from the stupid, ridiculous garbage that the government is using to monitor the private angler.
Hutch, I heard it somewhere. Is that like the garbage in, garbage out thing saying when it comes to like fishery science?
Yeah. Yeah, Tony, Captain Tony Bogan introduced me to that many years ago. I didn't realize that Tony was a technology buff. And also, part of the Bogan family. But it's a popular programming term, garbage in, garbage out.
Shout out
garbage
to
in. Yeah, that's all
Captain,
you're going to get.
Captain Tony Bogan, the Paramount up there in Brielle.
Yeah, great man.
I'll tell you, you see Tony Bogan, you're seeing a wall of a man. Well, Hutch, on the overall, how is your fluke season shaking out the few times you've been able to get out? And how's the dad doing with the fishing?
Dan's doing well. He's fishing out of Cape Horn Marina there and fishing Great Bay. He's taking family out all the time. And when I can get out, I've been doing pretty well. I'm looking forward to I have had fluke for dinner quite a bit this week because of my trips.
Oh, good for you. Cape Horn, is that Eddie Yates? Is that Eddie Yates run that now?
No, Joe.
Not Joe, Eddie Yates. That's Great Bay Boulevard, right, Cape Horn?
That's down there on
Seven Bridges Road?
Seven Bridges Road, yeah.
There you go. For some reason, I thought it was Eddie Yates. Now he's a LBI. Gary is it Dugan?
Dugan used to. It was sold to Joe, and I can't remember Joe's last name. I think it's Kelly.
Try to keep
a tournament going on this weekend.
Trying to keep going with that stuff, man. That is great. Well, Hutch, thanks for joining us. Hope all is well. Enjoy your time on the water. Like I said, this is rare that he's getting out, sorted us off, and in between all the bleep that's going on. But yeah. Hutch, keep up the great work. Greatly appreciate it. Listen, he's doing a great service for the recreational anglers in New Jersey, saltwater anglers, should say. And let's keep it going, Jim.
You got it, man.
Oh, by the way, did you get out any fresh water this spring?
Yeah, but it was cheating. I went out the week after opening day of trout, and I went to a great stocked lake that I know of, and I caught like a 5 pound
I'm gonna spill it, Hutch, because I was there too. Not when you're there. Spring Lake, listeners. Shout out, what was that, the Jersey Shark guys? They get the fish. Shout out to the Muskie Hatchery up there in Asbury. Phenomenal man, fish that they put in there, man.
Big beautiful fish, and you know it's pretty much put and take at that point. And sure. I don't want to take during the summer because the fertilizer runoff, but early in the spring, you get in there after the kids. There's some jumbos, and man, that was fun. That's the only I've done so far. So.
Did you get out for sea bass, by the way?
I did not. I've just been.
See, I told you, people. He doesn't get out all the time. All right, Hutch. You take care, brother. Be good.
See you, Tom. Bye.
Yeah, July issue is going to be out in about a week and a half. Check it out, the editorial, man. It hits you right between the eyes. Grab that cup. Grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Blue states are now suing over a Biden-era firearms rule undone by the Trump administration. 15 states and the District of Columbia are filing a federal lawsuit against President Trump, who is planning to allow sales of forced reset triggers. What are those? They're aftermarket parts which allow the operator of a semi-automatic firearm to fire the gun more rapidly. The ATF under President Biden decided the devices, abbreviated as FRTs, should be regulated as machine guns, even though the device itself isn't a firearm and its installation on a semi-automatic gun doesn't actually change the firearm's action. The suit is filed in a Maryland federal court and argues FRTs pose threats to the public and will make gun violence worse. No word yet from the Trump administration on how it plans to defend the policy. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Why? Why do we ignore the things that give us pause, that seem out of place, that don't feel right? The answer to why defines who we are. So if you see something, why do you say something?
I see safe for my friends.
For my community.
For my family.
For each other. Because all of this matters.
We all have something worth protecting. So why do you see safe? Report suspicious activity to local authorities. If you see something, say something.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go, look out below. We're back inside Rock and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 14th and 15th. And I was Hutch on the tuna thing that's going on with the Bluefin. Hopefully maybe some movement on that. And the July editor's log. July edition is going to be phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. But Hutch's editor's log. Hey, before you know it, it's January. Man, just think, in a week, the days start to get shorter. Next Saturday, the daylight starts to recede, which led us to January and the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo. Set for January 9th, 10th, and 11th, but I'm getting a little ahead of myself. How about Fluking the Cape? Cape May County, man. The bay stuff, still some plenty of fish in the bay. The out front bite has been going on for a couple of weeks. It's starting to get percolated a little bit farther north, up in through, Atlantic County, Ocean, whatever. But Cape May Fluking right now, out front is hot and getting hotter. Join us on the line right now is the owner and promoter of the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo at the Wildwood Convention Center next January 9th, 10th, and 11th. Jerry Vessels, ace Cape May Fluker. And we're going to talk some tactics for the Peninsula County Flatties. How you doing, Mr. V?
Tommy P, I'm doing fantastic, man. It's another summer. You just took all the wind out of my sails saying the days are going to get shorter next week. Oh, my God.
I know you've been working on the expo since it closed last January, Vessel. Are you kidding? So you're getting some time to get out there, Jerry. I understand you're putting some doormats and area rugs in the bottom of that boat.
I have been. I've made a couple of trips and I don't fish the back all that often because I have a larger center console and it's kind of difficult for me sometimes. So I skate out front while everybody's still fishing the back. And, you know, people say you're driving over fish to find fish. And I've been doing very, very well and very quietly. I'm not the only one out there at the local reefs.
This is true. Jerry, the nuances then of Cape May fluking, especially early in the summer, like now, June into early July, it can be a tricky ball game. You have the Townsend Inlet Reef right there. You have the Wildwood Reef right there, the Cape May Reef there. And we'll get into, maybe if we have time in the segment, Reefside 11. But there are some prime fluking opportunities, correct?
Fantastic fishing opportunities. All coming out of Cape May, I mean, we do have to take a little ride. It's 8 miles to Cape May Reef, 8 miles to Wildwood Reef. But the amount of structure that is on these reef sites, you can spend days out there hitting each individual little piece or little area. And, but again, like part of the success is hit and run. You hit an area, you're getting no bites, move on until you find that bite and you find them flukes stack up on top of each other.
Jerry, in the early going now, the water bottom water temps, I understand, nudged up a bit earlier down in Cape May County. That really put a little spark under the out front bite. What kind of structure are you finding keeper and bigger fluke at right about now in the early going? They prefer the tanks, the reef balls, the casing doors, the concrete culverts. What?
My personal experience, I was fishing just the other day. We were hitting the rubble, and the rubble was holding fish. It held a lot of fish, actually, and it was fantastic. Now, I had friends of mine that was at Cape May Reef. I was at the Wildwood Reef, and I'm going to get in trouble for spot burning here, but friends of mine were at the Wildwood Reef, and again, hitting various structure there where it was more of the rubble type of stuff, like you said, culverts or whatever, it was concrete type structures, and they had a banner day that you would have thought it was September. So,
yeah, Jared, it seems that you don't really hear that much. You always hear you want the biggest fluke. You have to go up like at Ambrose Channel, Raritan Bay area, or out there out of Manasquan Inlet, those areas there, the Shark River Reef, et cetera, the Sandy Hook Reef, whatever. These southern reefs, Jared, they are flounder factories, correct?
They are, and even with that, it's you know, when you're catching Jersey fluke and you get a big Jersey fluke is 5 pounds, you get in that 8-10 pound range. We're catching them down here as much as you're getting them up there. Our bite last year with the southwest wind, it destroyed our fluke season.
Oh, it did. The whole coast here. Oh, God, that was a nightmare.
It was absolutely abysmal. So we're hoping and already right out of the gate, the fishing's been good. So I knew guys that they're still going sea bassing. And even with piles of sea bass, they're catching fluke as byproduct. So, I mean, I'm hoping that that's just a great telltale sign that the fluke are going to be back and they're going to be thick this year. But as far as size-wise, there's every local tournament, you know, there's people pulling in 9-10 pound fish on a weekly basis. It's not, you don't have to travel 3 hours or, you know, the almost blasphemy to go up the Rhode Island to catch a 9 pound or a 10 pound fluke. I think that is like, that's not right.
Join us on the Rockerfin line this morning is Jerry Vessels, owner promoter of the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo and the Cape May Doormat Doyen. How's that one, Vessel? Is that gravy? Like that word? Doormat Doyen.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry, when did you notice the bite starting exploratory run? You hit him right off the bat. He said, you still need a week or two, a little warmer water come in, because in the back, they were knocking the snot out of him.
Right. They were doing good. And again, just for whatever reason, in the lower Cape in the back, the fishing is not that strong in certain areas. And areas where you have a 12 or 14 foot boat, little flat bottom,
right,
you can get into it. The fishing's fantastic. But if you're in a little bit bigger class boat, like I'm 25 feet, 27 feet, it's tough to fish these areas. So you're kind of limited. And that's it. Like I went out front my first couple trips. It was like, this isn't bad. You know, like it was worth the ride. We caught a couple fish. My daughter Allison's home from college. So her and I went out and we caught a couple fish and it wasn't bad. Then we made another one, and these were quick hitters. These weren't even all-day trips. These were a couple of hours of going out, and they were exploratory. Hey, we're going to hit this end of the reef. We'll hit here. We'll hit here. Could have put a couple fish in the box. Then it was, you know, the next time I went out by myself, and I had 5 keepers, which I kept 3. And, you know, I released 2 that were 18-plus and just said, you'll swim another day. But I had my limit of 3 fish, and they were all – 24, 22, 21. It's like, all right, man, I'm quite happy with this. In an hour and a half, I'm not upset.
Jerry, now you're fishing some really, again, if you're not losing stuff, you're not fishing in the right place. Again, you get some flounder around the edges. But Jerry, you're in, it's worse than my hair. You're in some snag-infested territory down there. And I understand you are strictly a bucktailer, correct? Jig head,
correct.
Bucktail, that's your deal?
Right, and that's it. And the jig heads, you go anything, you know, there's 50 different style of jig heads. All of them work. It takes a jerk on the other end of the line to actually make them successful. So it's all, but you are fishing that structure. You're bouncing right in between the stuff. You stay on the edges. Sure, you catch a couple of fluke. You're going to get more skates on the edges. And who really feels like dealing with Canadian flounder every day? I don't. So we try to fish right on top, and we're banging and clanging right off of the structure. And a very important thing is teasers. Put that teaser on. It increases your bite by 40%. Put a teaser on. Fluke are always looking up.
Putting the teaser.
What's that?
How far up from the bucktail are you putting the teaser, or your jig head, whatever, you're putting the teaser?
Maybe 12 inches, 14 inches. It's not a pure science. Some people will say, it has to be this high or this high, and it's just get it up above the jig head. And again, like I said, fluke are always looking up. So you get it 12 inches. My rule of thumb is generally about 12, 14 inches above my jig head, and away you go. And you can do it. Some people do no weight on it. I like to use about a 3/8 ounce jig head with a 3-inch gulp on it or something, and just go to town.
Jared, some of the guys and gals I've spoken to have been starting to score in Southern Ocean County, Burlington, you know, Atlantic, whatever. They say, and that was, they were using it for sea bass, but evidently that silver mud, whatever, Berkeley gulp sand eel has been a monster producer on the flatties this early in the season as a teaser.
I can believe it. I mean, the sand eels have been the prevalent bait, especially down here all winter long. We were marking sand eels, chasing tuna around, striper fishing. You're marking sand eels, you're pulling fish up, and they're spitting up clumps of them. So that has become a big foraging food down here now. So,
okay, Jerry, listen, we're up against a hard break. You hang in for another segment. I want to go into some of the tackle you're using and where specifically on these sites. Not specifically. Stop with this spot burning BS, people. It's a public reef in the ocean. We're not giving out numbers here. Jerry, that drives me absolutely insane. People, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back with Jerry Vessels, the Cape Moy Doyen, Cape May County Doyen of Doormats. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
News. I'm Deborah Valentine. Airstrikes between Iran and Israel continue with at least 3 Israelis and 78 Iranians reportedly killed. Fox's Evan Brown.
This latest fighting between Israel and Iran began with an Israeli pummeling of Iran's top echelon and infamous nuclear sites, but continues as Iranian rockets rained down Friday night.
Iran struck Israel's military headquarters, causing significant damage. Anti-Trump demonstrations are planned today as a large military parade honoring the Army's 250th anniversary in the nation's capital will get underway. Fox's Tanya J. Powers.
The organizers of the No Kings protests say the events in cities across the country will be held while the military parade happens in Washington, D.C.
The demonstrations and protests of President Trump's immigration and deportation policies. The military parade coincides with the president's 79th birthday. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey today will bring more clouds than sun, making it humid with a stray shower. Expect a high of 74. Tonight, it will be cloudy with a couple of showers and a low of 62. Tomorrow remains cloudy with a passing shower, potentially impacting outdoor plans for Father's Day. The high will reach 69. On Monday, it will be cloudy with some rain and a high of 71. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Joe Lundberg on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We're speaking with Jerry Vessels. We're talking Cape May fluking. Now, Jerry, I'm looking at primarily, you're talking the Wildwood Reef and the Cape May Reef. We'll get to a little deeper one, Reefside 11 off boat. What are you targeting now on these specific reefs, and what kind of structure are you aiming at now, like the next couple of weeks, now where you're going to figure the bigger fluke are?
Well, right now, like I said, it's kind of a hit and run. I'm going out to the reef with a game plan, and I know that here as the crow flies, like the southern end of the reef, which is actually the western end of the reef, is more individual type of clam boat, scallop boat, you know, that type of thing. And you're fishing the structure around that particular wreck and in that area, and that's again, you hit them for 10 minutes. You go over them, boom, 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 no bites. You move on, and you just bounce around. And it does, in my opinion, it benefits you to fish the areas that are more cluster structure where
good point.
You go, and it's it's hundreds of tires. You know, like I have spots marked on the Cape May Reef where it's 500 tires and they're chained together with concrete, and they're not – it's not all 500 tires. They're in stacks of 15 or 20 tires that are chained and concreted together.
Right.
And you fish that area. Now you're fishing, instead of a 70-foot scallop boat, something like that, now you're fishing 150 feet, 200 feet, 300 feet in your drift, and you're covering just a little more area because one end of it may have nothing. On the back end of it, you may have everything. Or if you come across it a little sideways, the bite's a little different, and it's all a matter of kind of seek and destroy. And once you find that spot, you continue. You don't do what your grandfather taught you and take big, nice, long drifts and, wow, we're doing great. If you're catching fish in a certain area, you pound that area like Rocky pounding ribs in the meat market. You keep hitting it, so...
So, Jerry, you're finding concentrations. We're talking keeper fluke. A keeper fluke in, like literally stacked up together?
Oh, yeah. Like in that, again, that same, you're looking at a 100-foot drift,
right,
and you're getting bites in 100 feet. Them fish are head to tail. I've seen videos on, you know, everybody look at YouTube videos where fluke are literally sitting two or three deep, you know, and it happens. They sit, they compete for the same areas, and mm-hmm. you may literally, where it's like, wow, I picked a fish out of this hole, and that was the premier spot on that, in that area. So as soon as that fish vacates that area, another fish is potentially moving right in it, and that's why
wow.
you can go back over a drift two or three times and catch fish in the same exact spot where you say, like, man, that's amazing. How did that happen? Well, it happened because that fish had the premier spot, and you just picked them out. Now the next fish in line is taking that spot.
Jerry, when you're jigging specific cover, I mean, you have a technique for, okay, you're like Ocean City, you get tanks, okay, you're on tanks, or you're on okay. you're around the reef balls or the caissons or what have you. Your jigging technique, the cadence, whatever, do you vary them as per what's down there?
On occasion, if I'm fishing stuff that's a little less sticky, you know, that's going to claim less of my jig heads, I might be a little bit slower in my cadence, you know. And I mean, when you look at the engineering or the physics of things, we're fishing 60 to 90 feet of water. At 60 feet down, if I'm moving my rod tip 6 inches, at 60 feet down, it's moving that jig up and down a foot, you know, or 2 foot off the bottom. It's doing a lot more than what you can visualize with just moving your rod tip a couple inches. And in areas where it's less sticky, I'm not as aggressive with it. I'm just kind of, you know, a little more lazy sometimes. In the areas that it's more sticky, I'm more aggressive simply because there's way more snags or hangs that are going to eat my jig. And I try to be like, because in that, if you're a half second late, you lose your jig.
Jerry,
you feel any kind of pressure, you got to set the hook, even if it may be a fish, it may not be, but you want to try to keep it out of the wreck as well, because let's face it, the reef is always hungry. So
speaking of that, Jerry, a little bit of a, not a non sequitur, sort of related, but what, in your all your years you've been fishing out, what's the average lifespan of one of your jigs? And you're in that kind
not
of
not very long. It is not very long. And sometimes you're in the barrel, meaning you drop down and you lose it immediately. You drop down again, lose it immediately, and you're just like, what am I doing wrong here? But I'm going to say that if you're not losing 3 to 4 jigs a day, or I won't even say losing, but if you're not getting hung up, significantly hung up 3 or 4 times a day, chances are you're just fishing just a little bit out of where you should be. You're there, but you're not quite there. And that is, you may get your jig back, but if you're not getting hung up in the structure several times a day, you're just fishing a little off. You need to be 50 feet closer to that structure.
That's it, man. It's almost like, you know, the metal lift swimmer or the plug thing when you're fishing for stripers off the jetty. You think you're reeling slow, you're going too fast. You have to, Jerry, you have to get down in this stuff. Well, Jerry, the take now of these bigger fluke in that nasty structure, how do you differ? I mean, are you dead sticking at all? I mean, is the rod just bow down, or are you feeling like thump, thump, bang, that you can differentiate? That's a flounder. That's a snag.
Well, that's why I said when you're there and you get that little bit of pressure, you have to set the hook, because when you're fishing a dense structure like that, you don't have that luxury of, you know, maybe, hey, I'll feed it a little line, I'll do this. If you wind up scoping your line out a little bit, all you may be doing is burying your jig to a point where it's not coming back.
The stick of no return.
Right, exactly. It's like you scope out a little bit and you start getting an angle on your line instead of being more straight up and down. Or like some people up north, I know they'll cast ahead and drift into it. And as soon as their line is straight down, they know that, you know, you got to pull it in, because your line starts going out the back of the boat, it's a kiss of death. So, but you feel that pressure. Like sometimes they hit really hard, you know, like boom, boom. And other times they'll just inhale it and lay on it. And they will not even move. It goes past their mouth. They don't even move. They grab it. And then it's just constant pressure. I like the ones that are constant pressure where, you know, sometimes you feel that big, heavy thud. Other times it's just you feel your line get tight and you get that good feeling in your stomach and you're like, oh, boy, I hope when I lift this tip starts moving. And you give it a good hook set, you know, like some Roland Martin type hook set because you're in that heavy structure. When I was, Tom, honestly, fishing open bottom, I barely set the hook. I lift the rod real nice and easy, and the fish hook themselves. It's almost like fishing with a circle hook. It's so, I learned that technique as a little kid from one of the charter captains down here, and it was just like, this is all you got to do, nice and slow, raise it up. And it was such a devastating technique. Now when I would try that stuff with the jigging, and I was losing all my jigs. So
there you go.
Again, like, learning trial and error, and I realized that any kind of pressure, any kind of bump, any kind of anything, you're setting that hook for real, because if not, you're just burying it in the structure. If it's not a fish, it's the reef, and you know the reef wins 90% of the time. So
that's like father time always wins. Hey Jerry, Jerry, we're up against a hard break, close out this segment real quickly. Jerry, it seems to be, I've fished it a couple of times to say I did it, but that Reefside 11 seems to be an enigma. Those who know it well score some smashes, thrashes, and hits like you. But Reefside 11, tricky place to fluke fish?
It is. Reefside 11 has some super sticky stuff that, you know, it's like you get hung up, you're done. You're not getting it back. Other areas, and Reefside 11 is tanks, it's personnel carriers, it's subway cars, it's tires, it's concrete. It is, Reefside 11 has probably more structure on it than two or three reefs put together. I mean, there's that much down there.
Yeah, it is loaded.
It is loaded from right to left, top to bottom. It's a fantastic place. I can tell you that Reefside 11, the last three local tournaments, all the winning fish have come from Reefside 11. You know, all in that 7 to 9 pound range fish. And there's so much structure down there and so many good places to fish. It's worth the ride out of Cape May. And I mean, you have to put your time in and doing it. It's right. Not a magical thing that you just go there and catch fish. If you're not working and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to be disappointed.
Okay, Jerry, we have to close out, but speaking of which, you have another minute. I understand you have a big-ass fluke tournament coming up. Go into that for a minute. Then we'll get you back in a couple of weeks to flush it out. Go.
Okay. Saturday, July 12th is the third annual Doormat Derby held at Off the Hook Marina in Cape May, right by the base of the bridge. We're a single-day fluke tournament, and last year we had almost 40 boats in it. And we had a great time, and this year we're hoping to capitalize on that, get some great weather, a great time, after party, award ceremony, door prizes, live band, plus you get to fluke with your friends all day and maybe walk away with a nice fat stack of cash. So,
yeah, you got some nice number of greenbacks there, but the food. Tell me about the food.
Oh, the food is provided by one of our vendors, and they did a great job last year. Roast pork, the hot sausage, the hamburgers, hot dogs, all of your typical what else do we have? I want to say pineapple stuffing, which is a weakness. all of your fixings for the thing, and then of course we have fantastic door prizes, and we give away a lot of stuff, so we try to make even out. We're giving away 10 cash prizes and then door prizes and everything else. So we really try to make it where you feel like you can win something. I know I'm running out of time, but biggest thing for it is spot fish, 18 to 20 inch fish. We're the only tournament that does it. And it is our biggest entry category.
There you go.
Every single boat got in that category last year as a Calcutta.
Yeah, we're going. We'll see in a couple of weeks about this. This is going to be a great tournament. Big, some nice money prize in here as well. Jerry, thanks for joining us, listeners. Fluke and Cape May. Great fluking going on right now. Get down
it's
there.
Hot right now, Tommy.
You have the Cape May Reef, Reefside 11. You have the Wildwood Reef. A little farther north, you have Townsend's Inlet Reef. Really hot. I think Townsend's, you have 10 or 11, 12 mountains of concrete. It's just the Cape is loaded. Jerry, we'll see you. Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Best of the family.
All right. Thank you, Tommy.
See you, brother.
Great talking to you, buddy. See you.
Good guy, man. Does he catch fluke? Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, moms aren't the only ones who suffer from postpartum depression. For Father's Day weekend, a look at how it can be a struggle for dads as well. Also, the hidden costs of home ownership can exceed $21,000. Plus, what's it mean when the wealthy start shopping at dollar stores and the tools from Google that are killing traditional news websites? That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of June 14th and 15th. Talk about a comedy of errors, man, what's been going on here. Well, closing out this weekend show with just a reminder, we had this gentleman was patiently waiting on the Rack and Fin Radio line with us back, I guess it was in probably October, early November. It's an amazing, we always try to cover some new products, you know, especially this time of year, every week, every other week. It doesn't have to do with rods, reels, lines, anything like that. It has to do with clean hands, no fishy smell. And it is absolutely amazing. It's a little 2-ounce cake, round cake of soap called Captain Wabbit's. That's not my Elmer Fudd there. Captain Wabbit's Fish Soap. Now, the company has been around for, what I understand, going on 3 years. Owners James and Brenda Diller down there at a Lewis, Delaware. And James Diller's on allowance right now. And I'll tell you, Diller, this stuff is absolutely amazing. Can you entertain me for a second here? You still there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom. Hey, man, thanks so much for doing this. Dude, this is amazing what we've done in 3 years. It's crazy. We are in 26 shops now in Jersey and 69 along the East Coast in eight different states. So it is just growing. People are giving us fabulous feedback about it. It is just amazing, with this. It is crazy.
Listen, you know, after you clean a mess of fish skin, whatever, clean it, you can try anything. This stuff works. Case in point, the other day, I believe it was Wednesday, I ran into a gentleman at a tackle shop. He had a cooler with some nice sea bass up to 3.8 pounds. Congrats on that one, Doug. And Ling, anywhere from 1 to about 2.5. I went, hey, mind if I do something? He said, what are you thinking about, dude? I said, listen, let me, I got my hands in that cooler, Diller, and swirled it around. Got the Ling, big slimy, luscious Ling. Got totally slimed up. Went in the shop and bought a bar of the soap. Went to the sink. I said, what do you do? I said, I want to try this. He said, try it. I'm telling you, it works. Diller, sure enough, rinse, Raja, not a scent. And you know how Ling can be pungent, sea bass.
Oh, yeah.
And not a scent. And how was that for testimony, man? I said, Mary, wow, this is amazing, amazing
that
stuff.
Is.
Listen to me. It's all, people, you know me, I'm from the 60s. I like chemicals, okay? This is all natural stuff. Again,
yes, sir.
Getting this. Coming up with this, where you did it in a garage, in your house, in a factory. What's the dealio?
Just in our house. You know, we were tired of having that bunker smell on our hands after fishing, and there was nothing to take it off. So we ran through some different formulas and came up with this. And my wife said, "Yep, that's the one." And you know, it's just been booming from there.
Do you have a background in chemistry or something?
No,
or chemistry.
I'm a nurse. A nurse by trade. You know, been doing it for over 20 years. And, but man, you know, it's just, I wash my hands all the time with it. And if it doesn't dry my hands out, you know, and.
Listen, don't take this the wrong way. One guy says, yeah, and your hands are really soft afterwards. I'm leaving that to you, man. I see stuff in here: coconut oil, palm oil, sunflower, safflower oil, lemongrass,
goat's milk.
It's a whole different thing. It's called. Okay, what the name? Captain Wabbits. What the hell is that?
Captain Wabbit.
What is that?
It's an old gamer tag. It's an old gamer tag when my son and I used to play a lot of Call of Duty back in the day, and it just developed from there. So.
Now, the trial and error with this, James, took you how long to actually from when you and Brenda formulated this till you made your first sale? You were satisfied and said, okay, let's hit the road.
Well, it was probably a couple of months. We made it up and we were just using it for ourselves. And somebody said, hey, you need to go get this into a bait shop. Go check it out. So we did. Our first bait shop here in Delaware was Henlope and Bait and Tackle.
I know that.
And man,
it just blossomed from there. Now you're in shops in, I guess, Cape May, Atlantic County, going all the way up, Monmouth, Ocean County.
Go all the way up to Upfront Bait and Tackle up in the north, down to Red Dog, over to Blackwater.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 26 shops in Jersey, and like I said, 69 along the East Coast from Connecticut to North Carolina.
Okay, my one thing, what about, again, how do you, it's so a little slippery. You have a little case for this, or can I get one case at a shop?
Yeah, so what we do is we have a little loofah bag that we use. We put the soap in, hang it on our bucket when we're on the beach, and then, you just put some salt water in the bucket and have your soap there hanging. The only thing you got to remember is let it dry out before you put it in the Ziploc bag, or else it gets kind of goopy. But even when it's goopy, it still works.
Listen, it's just amazing stuff. It cleaned out Ling, it lingers. And it's called Captain Wabbits. This isn't a testimonial real plug. This is just, it works. Man, it works. Yeah. And again, it's not racketeering, rod, reels, bows, guns, all that. No, this is about keeping your hands. And, hey, Deller, I tried the Blue Dawn. I tried the lemon this. Nothing worked like getting that sting. Even after cutting the grass, the gas smell from the mower.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I still use a gas mower, people. Yeah, it's just good. Now, where do you go from here, man? 200 shops.
We're headed to Florida. We're headed to Florida at the end of the month. And we're just going to keep trying it. My wife and I are doing this by ourselves. We don't have any salesmen. We don't have any sales reps. We like meeting the people. We like meeting the bait shop owners. And we just love traveling and doing this. And,
I know.
You know, it's been great. We have a website, too. We have a website so you can go on and you can see every shop that we're at on the website. And it's just CaptainWabbit.com.
Now, some of the shops here in the Rackerville Radio Listening Area, I know, didn't you say you were over at One Stop in Atlantic City?
Yeah, One Stop. Noel, he sells the crap out of it.
Yeah.
He loves it. He uses it as his bath soap. He loves it.
Noel, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Big bars. Yeah, he loves it.
Oh, so the size right now is available just in the 2 ounce, correct?
Yeah, you can get the larger 4 ounce online.
Okay.
On our website.
One more time with that site, please.
CaptainWabbit.com.
James Ziller, congratulations. A grand slam on this. Soap. I mean, it's soap. And they have fish. Listen, if you're attracting more four-footed critters than two-legged critters, you need this. Okay, man. Take care today. Hey, travel safe, brother. Be good.
All right, Tom. Thank you.
See ya. I mean, it's stuff. It just works. Is that a shameless plug? No, I bought it. I bought it, man. And the ling was gone. Hey, that'll do it for this week. I'm Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Again, weather's a little funky. That's all right. I like that. Well, I like that heat Thursday. It's summer. It's here, okay? It's here. Get out and enjoy. Get some fishing done. Want to clean those hands, man. Captain Wabbits. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.